That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, the show's about ready to get started here. But first, if you're not subscribed to the Shadow Docket bonus show on our Patreon page, you're totally missing out. On today's episode, recorded right after the free show ends, we had some blood pressure advice for your next visit to the doctor. Plus, Trump is colluding with big oil in exchange for donations. Elon Musk is here to read comfort food recipes and a whole lot more. Here's how you get the Shadow Docket. Go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for the Shadow Docket level, $5 a month, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
What do you say, big guy? You want to go for a ride in the Bobmobile?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 9, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,206 of the Biden-Harris administration, 180 days into the 24 presidential election. You find me on Threads and Instagram, the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska _, go on our Patreon page, is BobSeskaShow.com. Jody Hamilton, not here today, so it's just me and T-Rex, yeah. There we go. One goth ninja. You know him. You love him. David T-Rex Ferguson. His music project is Astral Summer. Patreon.com/Astral Summer. Hello.
Namaste, bitches.
Yeah, so I got a text message the other day from Jody saying, yeah, I've got things I've got to do. I've got friends and things happening, so I can't be on the show this week. And I said, oh, damn it. No, I didn't say that. I said, that's fine. No worries, no worries. But you know what I've got?
Wheeled in the Jody bot. Which
right.
Is basically, folks, three color TVs bungeed to a dolly. Like a,
yeah. I've got the official Jody bot 3000 that we have here at our disposal. And so whenever there's a lull in the show, we can just go to Jody, right?
What?
Well, yeah.
F you.
No. There's another one.
What?
I've got all the Jody noises, right?
No.
Oh, that's not a Jody noise.
What?
Okay. All right, so that's what we're going to do today. Me and David, just by ourselves
in
today.
The sandbox.
That's right. That, you know what? Eating sand, that's a great way to get a brain worm.
Yeah, so I hear.
So gross. You know, I thought that the thing that happened on Tuesday, the big news on Tuesday was Stormy Daniels' testimony about having sex with Donald Trump.
What?
And thank you, Jody. I thought that was pretty gross, hearing about Donald Trump wearing silk pajamas and running around the hotel room in his boxer shorts and a t-shirt.
I figured him for a tidy whities guy. I don't know why.
The fact that we're talking about Donald Trump's underpants right now is starting to really upset me. So I think, you know what? I'm going to change the subject
and
away
yet,
from that.
It's like, but we know that Barack Obama wears black boxer briefs, right?
Do we know that?
I feel like that's just a foregone conclusion. He just strikes me as a guy who's like, make it simple, make it fit. That's all I need. Black, that's, please. You
that's know. Right. Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
Thinking about Barack Obama naked is a lot easier, I think, than thinking about Donald Trump naked. I don't normally think of either of those two things, but if you're forced to do that.
Oh, well, the former, yes. The latter, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
My mental eyes.
That was the gross news on Tuesday. And then RFK Jr.'s like, oh, well, I've got that topped. You want to
hold
hear
my beer?
Yeah.
What was that again? What did he say?
Hold my beer.
I love it.
What?
Yeah. So he announced on Wednesday, I guess it was, that at one point in time, I guess this is what, back in 2012, something like that, years ago.
Well, he didn't announce it. Suzanne Craig from the New York Times was going through his divorced depositions. And that was his reason for something that had to do with why he shouldn't have to pay his wife more money in the divorce.
Because
he's got memory problems and can't function cognitively because he's got a dead worm in his brain.
Right. Which, did they remove the dead worm? Is it gone? Is it out of there?
Okay.
Okay.
Settle in, folks. Here comes Asperger's T-Rex. with another parasitology lesson. So, yeah. tapeworms that live in, mammals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cattle, sheep, pigs that can transfer to us. They come to us via their eggs, which could be on someone's hands who prepares your food after they defecate and don't wash their hands properly.
Yummy.
Or it could be like poorly cooked food that's come into contact with fecal matter or just not fully cooked. But these little larvae, little eggs get down into your digestive tract and then they hatch. And then they like flew around the body looking for a place to land. And 99.999% of the time they land in the gut, where they latch onto the intestines and begin to grow into big tapeworms.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So how do they – wait, I have a question.
But sometimes these tiny encysted larvae, these little like, you know, they cross the blood-brain barrier and fetch up in the brain. And they live there for a while, eating away until they basically run out of space and they can't grow anymore and they die. And that is when up to that point, they've been excreting chemicals that fool your body's immune system into thinking they belong there.
So is that why they're not susceptible to the stomach acid, the digestive tract that would normally disintegrate them? I mean, how do they avoid that? Do they have some sort of shell that protects them from your stomach acid?
Essentially, yeah. It's like a protein coat.
Okay.
Like, it's not a full-on egg shell.
Oh, I have a protein coat in the closet right here. Have you ever tried one of those on? They're great. They're very stylish.
A little slimy for me. So, like, occasionally one will fetch up at the brain, and it dies. And when it dies, it stops giving off the immune-suppressing chemicals, and the body responds to it like, oh, my God, there's something in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the calls are coming from inside the skull. So that's when people typically show up having seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy claims in his divorce deposition, so take it with a grain of salt, that his decision to get a brain scan came about as a result of mental fogginess and an inability to access long and short-term memories.
Wow.
But the doctors kind of said, I don't think this dead worm is doing anything. We think that your long-term memory issues and mental fogginess are coming from mercury poisoning, because apparently the guy just could not get enough tuna sandwiches. Literally, this is what he says. Like that he was eating too much tuna, too much perch in sushi, and eating too many fish sandwiches, and that gave him mercury poisoning, which has affected his ability to properly cogitate.
Okay, so it may not be the brain worms that caused RFK Jr. to be the weirdo that he is. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Although apparently he is suffering from three separate neurological conditions.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to atrial fibrillation of the heart, which is manageable with the right medication, but still not what you want in a president.
No.
Yeah,
because that could lead to stroke. I mean, that's the thing with that. And
heart attacks and all kinds of things. So
the brain worm is still in there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's in there, but it's all kind of pushing up daisies. It's dead.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw the most horrifying headline in the Daily Beast today, and it said something to the effect of, you may also have a worm in your brain, and you may not know it. No, please. No.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
It's weird that he has one. Apparently, he was from traveling somewhere in countries that don't have the same kind of sanitation that we do.
Uh-huh.
The same access to hand washing.
Okay.
And insistence in restaurants and in cafes and wherever they serve food, that people wash their hands constantly.
Okay. So he was traveling in Mississippi. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's a joke. That was a joke.
Thank you for not saying Georgia.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Mississippians listening to this show, all two of you.
Both of you.
Right. Well, the headline of the week, apart from the Daily Beast's terrifying headline, because you know what? Actually, Now, if I ever end up with a day when I've got a little bit of brain fog for whatever reason, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, I got a parasite. That's a worm. There's a worm in my brain. David, help me with this worm, goddammit. You're going to sing the What's the Matter with Bob jingle, and it's going to be a whole bit of...
What the heck is wrong with Bob?
Yep. So
yeah, we're going to pull it out your nose like a tapeworm at the asshole. Gonna be like 20 feet of worm.
Yeah. Dude. Okay. So here's the headline of the week.
We're not leaving the tapeworms behind, Bob.
I'm so done with
it. It's just like too ripe for too many puns we could get to here. Terms of like speaking in the royal we, you know, like me and my tapeworms.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can deal with the brainworm story. Why I can't deal with tapeworms. It's just, I can feel that feeling in my throat right now, in my neck, you know, that weird feeling that you get like, okay, if this continues on, I'm going to vomit right here on the show. And Kimberly is going to be of no help because Kimberly is terrified of any sort of vomit. If there's an unexpected scene with vomiting on a TV show, Kimberly gets viscerally angry with it. Like, why do they have to show that? Why
it's a good thing that women on TV only ever vomit when they're pregnant. Have you noticed this?
Oh, yes.
It's the cheapest writer's... like device in the world, like the, you know, like, oh, she threw up, she must be pregnant because that's the only time women ever
that's
vomit.
That's right.
I can't.
I think I'm gonna barf. That's the line from Fargo. But here at long last, the headline of the week: RFK Jr.'s campaign says the worm that ate part of his brain will not affect his ability to serve as president. Thank you, Variety.
It's not on his team of advisors, is what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what it's like in the Joe Rogan studio today, because they were all in with RFK Jr. And then at the same time, they've been talking about how, well, Joe Biden's cognitively out to lunch. Like, Joe Biden's not all there. One of the prime suspects in this whole Biden is old and therefore can't be president, other than Jon Stewart, has been Joe Rogan.
Let's talk about cognitively out to lunch. Can we talk about Kristi Noem?
Yes.
Like,
okay.
I've watched her in a series of interviews now, and she just can't answer a yes or no question. And there's like a point where it's like, governor, mm-hmm. put the shovel down and stop digging.
Yeah.
Because they keep asking her about Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not going to talk about my meetings with world leaders. It's like, you don't have to. You never met with a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You lying. Yeah. I can't. It's just like, she like just keeps spitting out talking points. And it's like, she's a broken android.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, Stepford Wives scene where it's like, I thought we were friends. I was just going to make you coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean.
And you know that at her publisher right now, it's that Spider-Man meme where everyone's pointing at the other person. Did you suggest that? Did you greenlight that passage? Did you say it was okay to put that chapter in there about the dog? What about the Kim Jong-un thing? Is that you? No, that's you. No, I didn't say that. You said that. No, I didn't. I didn't greenlight it.
Oh,
I gave
think it's
approval.
Exactly the opposite. I think they hated her. I think working with her
sabotage.
Must have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And her like ghostwriter was like, I think we need to put this front and center and then tie it off at the end of the book with saying that President Biden's dog should be shot too.
Yeah.
You think that'll work? That's good. It's good, isn't it? Come on, Kristi. She's like, I don't know. No, come on. It's good. Yeah. You know, and then they put it in there and it's just, it's like, it is now the anchor dragging behind her campaign across the, you know, to be the vice president across the ocean floor.
Yeah.
She's just like,
No,
they're laughing their asses off in that boardroom. They're like, that bitch is never coming back.
That's right. I love the conspiracy theory that it's actually sabotage by her publisher. Let's destroy Kristi Noem's career. And by the way, while we're at it, maybe we can claw back some of her advance. You know, maybe that'll work. But here's the thing that I keep thinking about, David. Let me know what you think of this. If you're Kristi Noem right now, you got to be wondering, like, how the hell does Donald Trump get away with it? He does 1,000 things like this every damn day. I do 2 things and my career is over. How the hell does that work? And so
I feel like it's Lindsay Lohan's, a Paris Hilton syndrome.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice like Paris Hilton never got arrested until she finally did? But like for a long time there, it was like she's clearly out here like wasted on drugs, doing all kinds of wrong shit. She's underage and she just keeps getting away with it. And then anybody that comes into her immediate orbit, like Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears is immediately mugshotted and like lying in the gutter on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Trump is a master at evading accountability, mm-hmm. and has been doing it probably since birth.
Well, here's so, my... Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that other people don't have that same knack.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the wheels keep coming off too soon for them because they... I guess they don't have the practice. Mm-hmm. And also just the total disregard for any kinds of feelings of warmth or friendship or affection toward anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I asked Reed Galen about this from the Lincoln Project, who was on the show yesterday, and he said, well, the reason Trump gets away with it is because he's the boss, and Christine Ohm is not the boss, but the boss can do it, the underlings cannot do it. But I think it may be a little of that, but I also think it's partly because Christine Ohm just didn't lie enough. If she had added maybe 10 or 15 more lies and scandals onto the stack, no one would be talking about the dog or Kim Jong-un or the DMZ or anything like that. It would be the flooding of the zone scenario, which means what Christine Ohm, her mistake was not the lie or the scandal. I'm thinking in the perspective of the Republicans and Christine Ohm. I'm not thinking in terms of my own perspective. I'm superimposing this on them. So I'm thinking internally, they're like, you know what our mistake was? It was only two things. We should have just packed this book with 1,000 other things, and then the press could never cover any single one of them. The outrage would be dispersed among all the different things, so each individual thing...
Yeah, nobody would know what to focus on.
Yes, it would water down every scandal by just flooding the zone.
I think that's also a part of it, but I also think she's got pretty privilege.
That may be a bit of it, too, yeah.
Do you remember when... what was that woman's name in Florida...
Yeah.
It was the attorney general, and she was a total grifter.
Yes, I know exactly.
Anderson Cooper went to interview her after the Pulse nightclub thing about her anti-LGBT statements.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was trying to shake it off, and he just kept coming at her. And she tried every single pretty girl trick in the catalog.
Yeah.
She, pushed up her boobs and flipped her hair and looked at him out of the corners of her eyes and batted her eyelashes and... It's Anderson Cooper. Like, none of that's working on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you barking up the wrong tree, honey, you're in the wrong set of woods altogether.
You were Paul Lynde there for a second.
Yeah.
A smorgasbord.
I went into opera recitative. Sorry.
Well, you know who's been making that case about pretty privilege is Kimberly, who's been talking about that in the context of Hope Hicks. Like, the reason she got so much sympathetic coverage for crying in court is because she's an attractive person. And
White lady tears.
Bingo.
Ask anyone from that village in Florida of black people that got burnt to the ground, Rosewood, about white lady tears. That's dangerous shit right there.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, there's a bunch of people in Kimberly's mentions who completely missed the point and were like, oh, she's not pretty. Are you kidding me? She's ugly on the inside. So that negates any. Well, that's not the point. The point is that generally speaking,
like, she could go to a photo shoot for Vogue at any.
Yes, of course. And so that gives her all kinds of wiggle room. If you're attractive, you get all kinds of privilege. It's just a thing. And so that's all. She was getting a lot of shit for it. And so how do we get off on the pretty privilege thing?
Christine Ohm.
Yes, thank you very much.
Her fake hair, her plastic hair extensions, and her black cherry lip liner are just like...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's the Stuart Varney of all people, the Tory boy wonder of Fox Business News, which is like Fox News mixed with baking soda and buy gold commercials and boiled down to crack pellets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Maria Bartiromo and Stuart Varney just like screaming and throwing shit at the walls all day.
In all honesty, her publishers have got to be pissed off because now she's canceled the rest of her book tour. She's not doing any more interviews about this. So my guess is...
She should have done that last week.
Yeah, of course.
And the problem with these narcissistic sociopaths is they're convinced that the answer to every problem is more me. Mm-hmm. It's Donald Trump. Why he can't fucking shut up.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, why he's going to end up in jail. God, please let him go to jail. Mm-hmm. He, started out yesterday, or was it day before, when Stormy was due on the stand, tweeting shit about her. And the judge was like, and somebody on his team was like, Mr. Trump.
Yeah, you got to stop it. Don't do that.
Do you remember what the judge said yesterday about going to jail?
Mm-hmm.
This is, and not trying to intimidate and tamper with the witnesses. This is what he meant.
Yeah, but they deleted the Troth after it had already been the source of all kinds of news. So it didn't matter that the Troth is gone.
No.
The story lives on. The troth lives on. It was screen grabbed by any number of organizations like Mediaite and so forth. So it was all over Twitter. Therefore, the deleting of the tweet is completely irrelevant in the story. But I want to go back to something Reed Galen said, in addition to his observation about Kristi Noem. He actually blurted this out, and I thought this was kind of newsworthy. He straight up said that RFK Jr. is a plant, that he is not like a house plant, but someone who's there deliberately to help Donald Trump win. And to confirm this, I think RFK Jr., who was on with Ari Melber on MSNBC yesterday for some reason.
Terrible interview. It was painful.
Jesus Christ. Talk about normalizing this nonsense. But RFK Jr. said in that interview, he can't win if I stay in. It's almost like a campaign slogan because it rhymes. Biden can't win if I stay in. And so that revealed all of it. That's why he's there. He's there to stop Joe Biden from winning.
That the people who are actually interested in him and his campaign are Trump voters.
Yeah.
Which is why Trump went off last week on Troth Central. Mm-hmm.
Did you say Troth Central?
Central. Troth, yeah. Truth, Central.
Troth, Truth, Central.
Troth, Truth, Central.
Central is the cable network. Troth Central. Okay. Yeah, that'll be the obscure cable network. But no, go ahead, please. I interrupted.
But, you know, there was a huge multi... post day from the former president bitching about Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this is not how this is supposed to, it's not what I'm paying for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm paying for him to suck off, to like, you know, siphon off Democratic votes, not Republican votes.
Yeah. Well, it's.
You fucking idiots, after all I've done for you. Yeah.
And this is the thanks I get. But here's the thing with RFK, and I think this is the same story when it comes to the age question. I think when it comes to RFK, it's going to be a wash. The number of votes he takes away from Joe Biden will probably be equal to the, or maybe Trump gets more votes taken away from him by RFK. At the very least,
I think that's
it's just
how it's
going to
go. He hooks them with the anti-vax thing.
Yeah.
Like, Democrats are not big anti-vaxxers at this point.
Mm-hmm. No, no. And the people who are anti-vaxxers right now, obviously, as you were leading to, is the Donald Trump people, the bro-libertarians who listen to the aforementioned Joe Rogan show. That's who is into RFK Jr. So I think more votes will get siphoned away from Donald Trump, but there will still be votes siphoned away from Joe Biden as well. But the age issue, similarly, is going to be a complete wash. I don't think it's going to be a factor that's going to damage Joe Biden any more than it's going to damage Donald Trump, which means it's just a non-thing. So
Thing I feel like with Palestine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know that people are just dissatisfied with Biden's performance on that so far, especially the further left you go within the realms of the party. But, you know, it's not like people are automatically going to go, oh, well, I'm going to let the Trump administration handle this because they'll be better. No, it's more people's understanding is more nuanced than I think the Chris Salizas of the world allow it to be.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, strangely enough, Axios released a new exclusive poll where they talked to college students, 1,250 of them, between May 3rd and May 6th, asking those college students which issues are most important to them. And let's see. You know what? I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up. The conflict in the Middle East is only important to 13% of college students.
That's much smaller than I expected.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like 20, 22, 25.
Well, check this out. National security / terrorism, 15%. Immigration policies, 21%. Gun control / safety, 32%. Climate change, 35%. Racial justice and civil rights, 36%. Economic fairness and opportunity, 37%. Educational funding and access, 38%. Healthcare reform is at the top of the list with 40% support. So this indicates to me that issues like guns, climate, healthcare are much more important to college students, obviously.
Does abortion figure separately or is that part of healthcare?
I think that is also part of healthcare. I don't see abortion separate. Did I say racial justice and civil rights at 36? Yeah, I may have said that already.
Yeah.
That makes me breathe a lot easier. Obviously, it is having an effect. I will give this to the protesters that the rage happening in college campuses and elsewhere has, I think, affected how Joe Biden is handling this. So President Joe Biden said for the first time Wednesday he would halt some shipments of American weapons to Israel, which he acknowledged have been used to kill civilians in Gaza, if Benjamin Netanyahu orders a major invasion of the city of Rafah. Quote, civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers, Biden told CNN's Aaron Burnett in an exclusive interview. Oh, I thought Joe Biden was being hidden in the White House because he's old and feeble. You mean he's talking about complex foreign policy things, issues, matters, war, even though he's enfeebled and he's right there on TV with Aaron Burnett on CNN? Amazing. And of course, he was referring to 2,000-pound bombs that Biden paused shipments of last week. Quote, I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities that deal with that problem, Biden said. So that's all great news. And it's strange to say this, especially right now while people are still dying. But I think this could end up before the end of the year or maybe before the election of being something where Joe Biden has a significant success story coming out of this. And I don't mean to oversell the concept.
Never underestimate the Middle East's ability to twist out of your hands.
That is also.
And turn around and bite you.
Very because, true. Like, very true.
Just, well, I think more and more people are kind of recognizing that the Netanyahu administration is just out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're a far right coalition and they are just like, they have no sense of proportionality.
Yeah.
And they're trying to commit genocide. And I keep hearing about all this anti-Semitism on campus. And it turns out it's anti-Israel. It's not actually like fuck the Jews, elders of Zion shit.
Well, there is of that. I mean, I've seen some instances of that, but I don't know how widespread
those are. Those are people who come in from there's this whole kind of like anarchist class mm-hmm. of people who like latch on to protests and use them to try to, chaos agents.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's alien to me.
Yeah.
It's like none of the kids, none of the college students they interviewed said anything about, the Jewish conspiracy mm-hmm. or whatever. That's not in the top 20 things they're concerned about because most of them are just like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of educated young people who are really pissed at the Jews.
Right.
They're
all saying.
What?
Thank you, Jody. Jody Bot weighing in here. We'll see. We'll see how this all lands. But I'm feeling pretty good about the direction this is headed. And obviously. Okay. Thank you for disabusing me of that optimism. But
I mean, we live in the age of like multiple black swan events. I was just thinking about this. The combination of Trump and COVID was particularly disastrous because both of those things are massive mm-hmm. disasters that are like once in a lifetime kind of, whoa, what the fuck, anomaly, like outside pitches that happen to land.
Yeah. Well, I've got some more good news lined up here. Buzz and I were both like Debbie Downers on Tuesday's show. So I felt like, you know what? There is some good news to be had here. And so I put some things together. We'll talk about that here in just a few seconds. Meantime, we'll talk about Judge Cannon, the delays in the documents trial, plus some more good news out of Georgia. From your former lieutenant governor, former Republican lieutenant governor. We'll talk about that too. Plus, some truth worked its way onto Fox News again. This seems to be happening more and more often. I'm liking the direction this is all headed. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Pick up the phone. Give me a call. It ain't right to make me feel this small. You got your long hair and your staring on the same. I like it when you
from Savannah, Georgia. It's another track from Basically Nancy. This is called Misery.
Oh my God, that's, yeah, she's so good.
Yeah, this is a great band. This is Elena Bowen, who is Bo Bowen's daughter, David. Bo Bowen is my lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this band is a big fucking deal, Basically Nancy. And you know why I say that? They've got another album that's on the way. It's gonna come out, I think, this year. And guess who produced that album? The late Steve Albini. They went up to Chicago,
wow,
recorded this album with Steve Albini. Of course, we lost Steve Albini this week.
Died too young.
Yeah, yeah. He, of course, a legendary producer, worked with Nirvana. In fact, he produced, I think, Nirvana's best album, In Utero. And so he was also featured in that documentary series about the Foo Fighters, or it was not about the Foo Fighters, but it was a Dave Grohl documentary series about all the recording studios, the famous recording studios in the United States. And it was called Sonic Highways. And Steve Albini, yeah, and his studio in Chicago was featured in that documentary series. And here's
it
a connection.
Too soon to lose that guy.
Oh God, no kidding. Yeah. And we need more of those alternative producers out there who
and
have.
Apparently I'm like one degree of separation because my entire Facebook timeline right now, mm-hmm, is apparently all my friends, including my brother. I had no idea my brother had recorded with Steve Albini.
Oh, really? But holy shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's like, I'm serious. No, there is like, seriously, like, I never met the guy, but like, one of my friends used to be his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, I mean, all these people who've worked with him, there's like an old river of punk rock 80s, 90s people that like runs through our contemporary culture. And
yeah,
like Steve Albini was in a band called Big Black that were, yep, based in Chicago. And like I'm kind of connected to all those people through my brother's band, 5/8.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once again, that one person who has contacted me now, there's someone who listens to the show. It's like, wait, T-Rex's brother's in 5/8? You know?
Well, it's so sad. I noticed Mark Maron posted an interview that he did with Steve Albini a while back as a memorial episode. So you should listen to that too. And I was knocked out when I heard when Bo told me. He said, yeah, my daughter's band, Basically Nancy, they were just produced by Steve Albini. The album's not out yet.
Man.
Again. But holy shit, I can't wait to get my hands
maybe
on that recording.
Maybe his last thing that he did.
It may have actually been the last recording that he worked on. So, yeah, I mean, his Steve Albini's credits are like a mile long. I couldn't even begin to list all of the records he worked on. But I'm going to scroll down to 2023.
He had a lot of integrity and he loved rock and roll.
Yeah. And you know what? The Basically Nancy album, which isn't out yet, isn't even listed on here. The Wikipedia credits end at 2023. So there's nothing that should be released this year that's part of this list. But it may actually be the last thing that he worked on. Anyway, so that's it. Safe home to the great Steve Albini. Thank you,
yeah,
for some of the greatest music of our generation. Really so grateful for all
attack
of that. Yeah, it was
which,
a heart attack.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Not an awful way to go from my experience. I mean, it was a little scary, but it wasn't like lingering and watching your life get smaller and smaller. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's way too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still traumatized from that.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. All the things that happened to me in 2018.
Yeah. Oh, so you're just like, okay, well, maybe not so much. Is that what you're saying? It's just like,
no,
it's just all
I mean,
part of it.
I'm like, it just, no, I'm still, I'm trying to like, I've got PTSD. I've got, like, I don't know, I've been diagnosed with so many things now.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I'm just trying to hold my shit together.
Albini produced Urge Overkill's The Supersonic Storybook. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, they're a Chicago band.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorites from the 90s. Saturation is one of my favorite albums from that period of time. Holy God. So anyway, speaking of Georgia, former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan says that he's voting for Donald Trump. He said...
No, he said he's voting for Jeff
Biden. Oh, I'm
Joe
sorry.
Biden.
What did I mean? Yes, of course, he's voting for Joe Biden. Strike that. Delete. I'll fix that in the edit.
delete.
He said, I didn't get here lightly. I've been a lifelong Republican. I've tried everything. I tried to support Nikki Haley, but now we just have to take Donald Trump out of our system. I got tricked into it. I voted for him in 2016. I voted for him in 2020 begrudgingly, and I made a mistake both times. So he's voting for Joe Biden this time around. And I love this part where he says, I got tricked into it. That's the story of 74 million voting Americans who cast ballots for Donald Trump in 2020. I mean, I can understand getting tricked into it in 2016, but I have no sympathy, but I can understand at least how they'd get duped and suckered by Russian disinformation flooding the zone. But in 2020, you already know what you're getting. What the fuck are you doing? So obviously being tricked into it is a major factor in all of this. And if you listen to Jim Comey, he said that one of the reasons why these Trump supporters hang on the way they do is because they're afraid to admit that they got tricked. But here's Jeff Duncan saying, yeah, straight up, I got tricked. I got fooled. I was deceived by the disinformation. I was deceived by the propaganda. I got dragged into the mania of all of it. And I fucked up. I shouldn't have done it. So I'm going to try to fix that. I'm going to try to atone for that now. And so that's all good news. Hopefully people will follow suit, other Republicans. And I think there are going to be more Republicans than are admitting to the pollsters who are going to walk into a polling place and pull a lever, press a button for Joe Biden, or do that for some other third party candidate, thus denying Donald Trump of a vote. That's all that needs to happen. You don't need to necessarily vote for Joe Biden if you're a Republican. All you need to do is vote against Donald Trump, and that will be very, very helpful. Like all the Nikki Haley voters.
I don't understand why people have such a hard time admitting they made a mistake.
That's what's crazy. I've talked about that for a long time in the context of social media. I think one of the reasons why our political discourse has become so off the rails, and it's not, you know what? It's not just political discourse. It's pop culture discourse as well. And it's really rabid among the toxic fandom set when it comes to things like Star Wars and Daisy Ridley's character and the right. sequels and all this shit.
People are like ready to die on the hill of a completely imaginary thing in their head.
Because they want to save face. They don't want to have to admit that they were wrong about something. So as a result of that, well, and then you add into the mix the fact that people get ad revenue and attention on platforms like YouTube for their negative bitching about Mary Sue this and Disney Star Wars is not real Star Wars that and all that shit. Perpetually complaining about these things that are supposed to be fun, that are supposed to be ultimately inconsequential. It's supposed to be escapist entertainment. It's not supposed to be a point of arguing and headbutting and rage tweeting. Like, for example, it's happening right now with the premiere of the new photo of Superman in James Gunn's new Superman movie. And so we get to see David Corenswet in the, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I have no idea how you pronounce his name.
I haven't seen it in print, so I'm not going to offer a suggestion.
Yeah, well, there was a photo that was released of him in the Superman costume, you know, pulling on one of his boots, sitting in a chair, pulling on a boot. And of course, all of the fanboys who have spent the last year or so doing fan art to signify what they think the super suit should look like. And when it's not that thing, they're like, okay, well, it's not that thing that I proposed. And that was my thing. That's part of my brand. So fuck James Gunn and this awful costume. I mean, those are people who are actually earning like ad revenue on YouTube for saying stupid shit like that, for getting so pissed off about those things. Because they
This is something that I've actually been thinking about a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That there is content out there that is designed specifically to enrage you.
Yeah.
Well, there is just outrage clicking out, because that's what drives the algorithms, is anger and outrage.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so it was, I finally just snapped. It was one of those like videos where they're making like food in a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, right? It's always these super like
glammed up. There's always something gross,
girls with super long nails and big, big boobs, and they're like, one of them's telling the other. It's very fetish to me. But they were making punch in a toilet or something, and I was just like, this is not. The only purpose of this is to drive outrage clicks.
Oh, of course.
Like, except for the guys that are jacking off to it.
Right.
But like everybody else is just like, and I was just like, there's so much real shit to get mad about.
Well, the Russian trolling isn't reserved exclusively for political discourse, political social media. It's actually something that's being injected into the aforementioned pop culture. So there are Russian trolls.
That's the thing. It's like, beware of things that are out there designed to make you mad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are still people right now on Twitter who can't stop screaming. That's why I mentioned Daisy Ridley and this nonsense, what I think is misogynistic nonsense about her character in the Star Wars sequels as being a Mary Sue. I hate that. I hate that so much. That movie was 2019.
I don't even know what that means.
It means a character who is already imbued with great power without having to work to achieve that power. That's essentially boiled down, but I think it's something more. I think it's taken.
You mean like Luke Skywalker?
Well, yeah, that's what they say, but they say Luke Skywalker had to work to become a Jedi, whereas Rey was already kind of had Jedi powers going in. But I think it's more of a thing where it's been co-opted by the men's rights misogynists who hate anything that's woke about Star Wars, including the fact that there was a female lead in all of the sequel movies. So that was a big problem for them. But they're still, that movie came out, Rise of Skywalker was December of 2019. That was a long, 5 years ago.
And they're still mad.
They're still rage tweeting about it. I know my friend Rick Hsu is constantly fielding these tweets and like, God, how do you have the patience for that? I don't even stick my face in Star Wars discourse anymore. And I fucking love Star Wars. It's all over my fucking office right now, and I can't participate in that dialogue because it's so utterly toxic. Anyway, so the same thing that we see in politics is happening in pop culture as well. It's not just Star Wars. The Taylor Swift discourse on social media is completely fucked up. So that's where it is. And I think a lot of this is being stirred up by overseas bad actors, Russians, Chinese troll farms are stirring shit up to try to manipulate Americans into constantly being angry. And then yada, yada, yada. You know what we need is we need a dictator to smack some sense into people, because I'm so angry about where we are right now. Everything's chaotic.
Can you imagine the Star Wars that Donald Trump would write?
No, it would be all him. It would be like that scene in Being John Malkovich, where Malkovich goes inside of Malkovich and everyone becomes John Malkovich. So like if Donald Trump were to make Star Wars, every character, even like Chewie, would look a little bit like Donald Trump. Everyone would have the hair and the tie and the ridiculous suit and do all the Donald Trump gestures and things. It would just be different versions of that, right? But you know what? His people, the people who surround him, kind of like the cantina in Star Wars. So not too
totally.
Far.
Totally. No, a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
We must be cautious, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this. Meantime, Judge Cannon has delayed the documents trial indefinitely.
I just can't. This makes me want to fucking slam the toilet lid on my own head.
Yeah.
Like, it just, this is where fraud, mm-hmm. the fucking incompetent, unexperienced, never had a fucking courtroom trial bitch has just completely derailed. I don't know. Oh, God.
Is she doing this to help Donald Trump just transparently?
Yes.
Or is she doing this because she's terrified to be a judge presiding over a possible conviction of Donald Trump? I think it's a little of both. I think that she wants to protect Donald Trump, but she also wants to save her own ass. She's hoping that this will be taken away from her. I swear to God, she wants this to go to another judge. I'm surprised she hasn't bailed out of the case entirely, because it would, if she did that, it would probably ruin her career. But I bet she would, on some level, she's like, good God, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to be in those crosshairs? Do I really want to, you know, do I really want to stumble into the propeller? Do I?
They're going to have to manage him in my courtroom.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean,
and walk the line of whether or not to send him to jail.
Judge Ngoron had a knack for it, but I think Judge Cannon's is like, I'm a complete rookie. I barely know how to put my robe on, much less preside over the trial of an ex-president, possibly being the second judge in history to preside over a criminal trial of an ex-president.
Never forget, though, anytime anyone gives Donald Trump what he wants, there is always the possibility of some form of extortion or blackmail or whatever, because that's how he rolls. You know, like, well, you're going to do this, or the world is going to find out about that shady real estate deal or about your affair with the underage person, or, you know.
Well, to be clear, I want to make absolutely certain that everyone realizes that I know that this is about protecting Donald Trump primarily, first and foremost. I'm just thinking in terms of a secondary thing, which is CYA, cover your ass. And so that's what she's doing, I think, to a certain extent. But meantime, a Georgia court agreed to hear Trump's appeal of a decision allowing Fulton County's District Attorney Fani Willis to continue the election interference case involving Trump and others. So this is something that happens when you have an endless supply of legal funds coming in from stupid sucker donors who are giving Donald Trump.
And state legislators who are in Trump's pocket. Let's
not
forget.
Yeah. There's a thin upside to this, which is that every cent that goes into this appeal is a cent that doesn't get spent on Donald Trump's campaign for president. So there is that side to it. And that's something that we can at least kind of look at as being, well, there's a little thing here. The fact that Donald Trump made the term witch hunt into something that is completely meaningless at this point, it does a real disservice to the term witch hunt, because this thing against Fani Willis is absolutely a racist witch hunt, racist, misogynistic witch hunt.
100%.
I mean,
but her office is going to they're going to plow forward. Yeah. She can go to court. She'll go to the hearing, but she has a bunch of people who work for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What amazes me is how many people are just willing to throw their careers on the bonfire to defend him and to keep him out of trouble. He's never going to do anything for them.
It's astonishing to me still that there are people who are willing to latch their wagons to Donald Trump's fat ass. I can't believe that they are stupid enough to do that. And
especially when again and again we've seen them get like chewed up in the propellers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. They're just walking into their own. Here we go. Oh, there they go. Disgusting. I got some on me. You know what? I should warn you next time, David, to get out your Gallagher plastic sheet to put over your head, because we're about to smash a melon.
Just say, do you like Huey Lewis?
That's right.
And I'll know to put on the slicker.
Yeah, so let's get our plastic tarps and hold them over our heads while, oh no, here he goes again. That was Mike Johnson who just walked into
I'm surprised his head was high enough to hit the blade.
So you mean Mike Johnson could actually duck under the propeller blades?
Yeah, you must be this tall to be killed by the propeller. And he doesn't quite hit the hand, you know?
Right.
I need a squeaky toy, because I want to just call, he's so little, I want to call it the squeaker of the house. You know, we need like a dog squeaky toy sound effect for Mike Johnson.
Oh, do I have that?
You know, I love that Marjorie Taylor got booed on the House floor yesterday by people from both sides of the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And she tried to oust him. God, what a bitch. She's just, she's such an asshole.
Yeah,
she just oozes asshole. And I'm I don't know what she thinks she's going to accomplish trying to destabilize her own party.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is just, one of those people who is, so fucking determined to kill the shark that, once it's in the boat, she's, still shooting it with a shotgun and blowing holes in the hull.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You know, what are you doing, Marjorie?
Here's Mike Johnson. Yeah, that's Mike.
There we go. Squeaky. Ah, the squeaker of the house. So glad you could make it, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Mike Johnson. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thanks for stopping by, Mike Johnson. There he goes. So you know how we know Republicans are making shit up? Because they keep telling us Here's Mike Johnson talking about how, you know, they're trying to pass this legislation that would do something that's already illegal. They want to ban migrants from voting in elections which is, and registering to vote. And it's already not a thing. You already have to present proof of citizenship when you go to register to vote. This is not about the facts of
if you're going to pass that law, I want you to pass a law that keeps people who live in the villages in Florida from voting twice.
That's right.
Okay, because that's where the real vote fraud problem is.
Mm-hmm.
It's old white Trump fans, you know, like.
Well, this is Mike Johnson admitting in a press conference yesterday, which, by the way, was attended by Stephen Miller. Worm Tongue stopped by Capitol Hill yesterday. And Mike Johnson admitted that this has...
I sort of imagine him like sort of like rigid and corpse-like and reeking of embalming fluid. Like they bring him out in a hand truck, you know, and then just like stand him up and he just sort of...
That's right. Know. Like in another life, in another universe, Stephen Miller is a mortician, but the creepiest, most awful mortician of all morticians. Not like fun morticians like on 6 Feet Under, but... the weird morticians. So this
doesn't seem a little too eager to be alone with your relative with their clothes, their dead relative with their clothes off, you know?
Yes. Yes. Looks forward to going to work a little too much.
A change of clothes.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
What?
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Jody.
F you.
See, now she's upset. You've upset Jody, the Jody bot.
Sorry, Jody bot.
Yeah, okay.
F you.
Okay, so here's Mike Johnson yesterday admitting that they have no facts, no information leading them to believe that migrants are illegally voting in our elections. All they have is their, this is a quote, intuition. They believe it's true, therefore they're going to legislate on their belief that it's true, which it's not even a belief or an intuition. It's just pandering to racists. That's what that is. I wish they would call a spade a spade. Here's Mike Johnson yesterday with Stephen Miller in attendance.
No. So actually, on the first question, I mean, the answer is that it's unanswerable. That is the problem.
Yeah, it's the problem.
Oh my God,
is,
there's fucking Buddhist monks now?
The problem is we don't know that there's a problem. And
it's the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah. The problem is we have no evidence, is what Mike Johnson is saying. Isn't that right, Mike Johnson? Thank you.
States are not allowed right now to prove, if somebody claims on that simple form that they're a citizen, they can vote. They're not allowed to prove whether it's true or not. We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number. This legislation will allow us to do exactly that. It will.
We don't have that number. We don't know. Could be happening. May probably not happen.
I felt myself getting actively stupider as that went on. Like,
yeah,
I feel like Mike, little Squeaky Mike's talking points are always a couple years out of date.
Yeah,
you know, he starts talking and I'm like, no, remember we stopped using illegal as a noun.
I know.
In 2018, Mikey, like that was considered a bridge too far and a little bit too racist for everybody except maybe like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still there. But like he also was talking in the anti-LGBT. He was talking about lifestyle choices.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, that's an 80s talking point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, he's like so old school Republican that he has forgotten that you have to change your talking points every 30,000 miles or every 3 years, you know, as needed.
Yeah. Like, but that's the problem with the Republican Party. They keep applying these non-functional ideas to
terrible
our
ideas.
Yeah. And they won't let go of them.
And they want to talk about the free marketplace of ideas. It's like, no, dude, your ideas are on welfare, okay? Like, your ideas are, like, cracked out, smoking pot all day, watching Judge Judy on the sofa. Like,
that's so right. That's so true. All right, a little more, few more seconds of this dumbness from Mike Johnson.
Number. This legislation will allow us to do exactly that. It will prevent that from happening.
Prevent something that's not happening from happening.
He's getting proud of himself now because he made it through the whole sentence. You can hear him. He's like, oh, that period's coming. He's like, yeah. This legislation, I've almost done it.
And yeah, did you hear how I rationalized something that's really not happening, something we made up in our heads just to scare white people? Yeah, it's working. I've reached this point in the discourse where I'm beyond the bullshit portion of what I had to say.
I squeezed out that ideological turd.
Yes, there it is. Is.
And if someone tries to do it, it will now be unlawful, and the states will have a mechanism to prove whether
it's already unlawful. if whether someone tries to do it or not, you it's can't already vote unlawful.
You're not a citizen. Period.
This
period.
Is
P-E-R-I-O-D-T. Period.
I'm surprised they're not straight up just calling this critical race theory. Like, okay, we're just going to use this because it works so well in whatever 2018 or 2020. Critical race theory.
Like
that's
the
what
Anti-Dragons and Unicorns Act. Like, yes. This is going to keep Komodo dragons from voting in our elections.
Right. We're going to keep trans Komodo dragon migrants from voting in our elections because that's a thing, isn't it, Mike Johnson?
They are not. And to suggest that this is some sort of revenge tour is kind of a silly notion.
That rumbling, by the way, that you hear is Stephen Miller breathing fire into the microphone. So that's what that sound was.
I thought it was the Civil Rights Act rolling in its grave.
Better. Better. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so we've got some great polling news out of Wisconsin. We've got some more news for Democrats coming from Indiana, of all places. That and more as we roll through our Thursday show back after these words.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. Every time I hear colleagues of mine commenting on any of the atrocities of what is hell on earth in Gaza, and they call it a genocide, I sort of kind of want to strangle them because they are conflating real genocide, which happens in places like Rwanda, it happens in Germany. One out of every three Jews during the Holocaust was killed. Half the population that existed of Jewish people was wiped out by Germany in the Holocaust. When you look at the number of casualties in Gaza, it's staggering. It's hideous. It's women. It's children. It's barbaric. But it's not a genocide. 1.42% of the population in Gaza has died in this seven-month conflict. That's a lot of people. It's inexcusable, actually. But it's not a genocide. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Spinning this one again. This is Novelist Me.
Nice.
And a brand new single called Open Hearts for Open Parks. The for open parks part is in parentheses in case you're searching for it. But you don't have to search because I got links in the description at bobseska.com. Just go to that website. Find this episode dated 5/9/24. It should be right there at the top of the page. Click that link.
Hey, did you
down.
See those pictures of Lonnie Paul playing with Pretty Boy Floyd?
Yes, I did.
What a fucking rock star, man.
I know. You know what? I love the fact that there's still musicians playing guitars and growing their hair long and wearing the costume and everything like that. I love that that is still happening. Did you see the new ad rolling out the new iPad? Tim Cook posted the new video. And basically, it's a giant, like, crushing machine. And inside the machine are all these musical instruments and a mixing board. And there's even a computer in there, too. And there's a piano and all this stuff, all these, like, acoustic and analog instruments and things like that. And then they all get crushed. And there's sculpture and paint.
I don't like where this is going.
And it all gets crushed and flattened, right? And then what's revealed is after it's been flattened, inside is the new iPad. Oh, isn't that sweet? And of course, it's raising all kinds of controversy all over.
Yeah, the messaging on that is not great.
The messaging is horrible. Because
I don't think people in Silicon Valley really like need to like import a class of regular people.
Yeah.
To look at things and be like, dude, no.
Yeah.
The whole AI thing, I think,
no,
is like not enough people have said no to people about is it ready, is it useful, does it work?
Yeah.
Those are all questions that are like no, no, and no.
No.
But no, no, no. Anyway.
Yeah.
People,
yeah.
I feel like with AIs, they're getting confused with, it's like parrots and minor birds that talk. But they're not really speaking. Mm. They're just mimicking sounds that they've heard, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I feel like AIs are doing right now. Mm-hmm. But it's giving the illusion of thinking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The more I'm learning about it, and the it's like takes more energy than Bitcoin mining just to ask an AI simple questions.
It is right challenging. Now,
like Google and Meta are paying the bills on that, but.
I know. My response to this particular video was, nope, the message should be use these instruments and tech in conjunction with the iPad. Learn to play, learn to design, learn to sculpt, learn to draw, learn to produce, then incorporate the iPad to help, not to replace. And that's my philosophy.
Okay, see, but the whole thing with any Apple product now is there are no physical jacks.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to plug in a microphone.
Right, I know.
It's infuriating.
Yeah, Kimberly just got a brand new MacBook Air, and she had to get this big peripheral stuck to the side so she could plug USB devices into it, because there's only one USB port on the side, and it's one of those mini USB ports.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely
ludicrous.
I just
bought adapters. Yeah. I bought a bag of adapters, and they work for everything.
Yeah, you want to know?
But I have two USB jacks. So.
Here's what pisses me off about the post-Steve Jobs Apple. Okay, here we go. This is a sound. I'm going to make this sound here. You know what that is? That's my iPhone, because the camera is now jutting out from the back of it. And if you put it down on a flat surface, it's like a table that has one leg that's too short or is missing a piece out of it. So you have to stick like sugar packets in there to even it out.
It's got a physical zoom lens that pokes out?
Yeah, well, the camera. And this is not even a recent iPhone. I've got an iPhone 7. And so the camera lens, and I don't use a case. I hate using those plastic rubber case things. So, but if you just take the iPad and lay it down, it wobbles like a table that has one leg that's too short. Steve Jobs never would have allowed something like that to ever happen, to get produced and made and sold. But now that he's gone, it's just like, well, whatever the fuck, we'll just do whatever. But this thing, like going back to AI, just my justification is similar to what I just said. I think AI is good as another tool in your toolbox. If it becomes the end all be all of what you're doing, that becomes, I think, problematic. But if you add it in, like, so for example, I've been doing some design work recently to coincide. It's something I'm going to wheel out on Instagram probably in late July into August to coincide with the 50th anniversary of Rush. And so because of that, I want to do a series of illustrations for my 15 favorite Rush songs. And so I'm doing all this graphic design work, and I'm incorporating all the stuff I've ever learned with graphic design. Plus, I've been adding into the mix Photoshop's new generative fill, which is Photoshop's version of AI. The upside about that is the source material for the generative fill in Photoshop is Adobe's stock photo library. So no one's getting ripped off. It's not going to DeviantArt and stealing the work of struggling artists who are posting their work up there. Anything that you use in Photoshop is coming from some form of public domain artwork that Adobe has access to. So and so it just becomes another tool, like CG and texture mapping and drum machines and MIDI and synths and things like that. It should be in addition to, not
an, ultimately it will be an absence. Humans are too egotistical to not to let ourselves get completely eclipsed by our appliances.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, there are going to be people who cheat. There are going to be people who use it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for every person who's ready to obey the rules,
yeah,
there's going to be six or seven people who don't.
Right.
But in the end, I don't know. It's like there's, you know, it's the 5% rule with music. Like at any given time, any given genre, 5% of any music being made is excellent.
Yeah.
And the rest is varying degrees of not excellent.
Right.
But like, I feel like we do, I feel like we're missing people because of the giant blanket that like Facebook has thrown over everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more little blogs.
Yeah.
You know, indie blogging and writing and music have kind of disappeared now.
Yeah.
Because you need a certain level of money to make clout.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, I mean, I never would have gone into animation if it hadn't been for digital animation. That's how I got into it. I didn't go to school to learn how to cell animate, sadly. I
would never have gone into journalism if it wasn't for blogging.
Yeah, that's true.
I was an English teacher kind of guy. My degree was in.
I was accepted to college in the graphic design program in the college I went to. I just got burned out with art in my final year of high school and decided to switch over to political science. But I mean, so I've got some graphic design background. Plus, I've been a professional graphic designer for God knows how long, 30 years now. So hasn't been my primary focus, but I've used a lot of different tools that make life easier for graphic designers, whether it's CG, whether it's Photoshop. You know, these are all things that are part of the toolbox. And I think adding AI into that mix, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, if AI replaces all of the other tools, that's when you end up into sketchy territory. But the ideas are still yours. The composition is still yours. The compositing is still yours. There's so many things that you can still do to have that human touch to a graphic design that incorporates AI. Just if you're doing it from scratch and AI and just hitting a button, putting in a couple of prompts, and then that's your thing, you're probably doing it wrong. Like that music, that song that we played on the Shadow Docket, whatever it was, a couple months ago. It was like they put in a bunch of prompts for a song, use the song that came out.
Oh, I don't want to think about that. It made me so sad.
It made me sad because it was cultural appropriation. It was probably based on some black recording artist from the 1920s who got screwed out of all his royalties and had his music stolen and so on, and ends up getting churned out by this AI thing by a reporter at Rolling Stone. That's kind of shit that makes me nauseous. But
let's talk about the primaries in Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana. Great news out of Indiana, where Nikki Haley got 21% of the goddamn vote. Again, that is a staggering number, given that
I can't hear her name anymore without thinking about Trump misfiring on her and Nancy Pelosi.
I know.
No.
Nikki Haley. Haley, I thought you were my friend.
He said
I was going to make you coffee.
But I mean, with this sound effect that we play all the time.
No.
It endears me a little bit to Nikki Haley. I love the fact that there's 121,000 Republican voters in Indiana who cast ballots against Donald Trump. Do you honestly think?
Let's not forget
that
Mike Pence was Indiana's governor.
That's
before he was Trump's vice president. And they still hear people yelling, hang Mike Pence in there.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. Like, that's their guy.
I don't believe that Joe Biden will win Indiana, although, you know what? There is a chance. Barack Obama won Indiana in 2008, astonishingly. That was a complete surprise. So it could actually happen again. And given the fact that there are perhaps 121,000 voters in Indiana, probably more, because more people end up voting in the general election than they do in the primaries. So
121,000 people who were going to vote for a candidate who's not even in the race anymore
and hasn't campaigned
to plant a flag away from Donald Trump.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Right.
But I think, you know, maybe we're underestimating some of the Republicans on the ground, although I don't know. They seem to really relish their hatefulness, but there've got to be people out there who miss, like, you know, the fucking what was his, Bob Dole's Republican Party?
Oh, you know, yeah, of
old
course.
Old men who could do math.
Right.
You know, like, instead of the freaking Marjorie Taylor. I think, you know, even the Republican Party is tired of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a shelf life for the mania that we're seeing in the Republican Party. because after a while, don't you get tired of being like one of these red hats, one of these Republicans, where just literally everything is a source of outrage? I mean, the production of dishwashers is now something that we have to be freaking our shit out about. Like, oh my God, the dishwashers, how dare they with the dishwasher? What is it about the dishwasher? I don't know. Trump said something about the water. Okay, fuck those dishwashers. At some point, either
he really is like the human equivalent of a lit fart. You know, like this natural kind of gaseous state of grievance. Mm-hmm. And he's just like the spark that turns it into just, they just naturally produce unhappiness for whatever reasons. I guess they're more talented. I don't know. They seem to have always been this way.
Yeah.
That whole, like, I don't know. It's so, they're just angry and they for some reason the outrage doesn't ever seem to exhaust them. Mm-hmm. It's like crystal meth. Yeah. As exhausting as it is for us, they just can go back from hit after hit after hit and be exhausted about everything from Mr. fucking Potato Head.
Yeah.
That was a real thing. To a tan suit.
Mm-hmm.
To just whatever is fucking rattling their cage today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how long it lasts. I think it's got a shelf life, and the shelf life may be expiring. If you look at Donald Trump's crowds lately, there are fewer and fewer people showing up for those rallies. It's not like it was in 2016 and 2020, I assure you. And then you notice the fact that there are, you know, 21% of voters in Indiana and Pennsylvania and South Carolina and all these Republican primaries voting against Donald Trump, turning out to vote against Donald Trump and for someone who's not even running anymore and who hasn't spent a cent in terms of ads or campaigning or anything, no surrogates, nothing. And she's still getting a colossal percentage of the vote. That indicates to me dwindling support for Donald Trump. And this support is not showing up in the polls. This is why I keep going back to the Bradley effect, that I think people are telling Republicans, especially Republican women, are telling pollsters what they think the pollsters and what their husbands want them to believe, rather than what they actually do. Because once they walk in the polling place, all bets are off. They can do whatever they want in secret in that polling place. So they're casting ballots for Nikki Haley, but not telling pollsters that that's what they're going to do. So there's a big undercalculation of especially women Republicans, who, again, are telling pollsters one thing and then voting a separate way on election day. So watch for that. I think the exit polls are going to be fascinating coming out of the November election, among many other things. But let's turn now to Wisconsin, because I've got some good news from there.
So, isn't there something we're going to rag on Gret Gutfeld about? I don't want to let that opportunity slip by.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second. I'll mention that now before we talk about Wisconsin. Yeah, Gret Gutfeld has a boner for Donald Trump. He was talking about the Stormy Daniels testimony. He said, we all know Gret Gutfeld. He's the fetal.
This is like when Stephen Miller was trying to call him a style icon.
Yeah.
Remember that? Where it was just like, dude, put the gas can down and stop huffing.
I know.
Like,
Gret Gutfeld is the fetal goblin who sits on the right side of the table and makes smart-ass remarks that he thinks are funny, that his writers actually feed to him during the show, reads them directly off of a piece of paper in front of him, and he gets passed off as being a comedian, a funny man. See, I stuttered on that.
Remember, Bob, he is nobody's Luke Skywalker, okay?
That's
right. So nobody fucking looks at Gret Gutfeld and goes, that's the kind of person I want to be.
Right. So yesterday on The 5, what time does The 5 come on, Fox News? Is it? Oh, it's 5.
What?
It's very, yes, Jody, it's very stupid.
On the nose?
Yeah. On the nose, yeah.
What?
I know. So he said yesterday on The 5, Stormy claims that she blacked out in this tryst with Trump, but she wasn't on any drugs or alcohol.
She didn't. She said, I dissociated.
Dissociated, yes, because she didn't want to acknowledge the fact that this fucking shriveled microwave
human
hot dog of
giant scrotum,
this bag of triglycerides, has mounted her missionary style. And she's got to endure this because she wants to go on Celebrity Apprentice. She wants to be on the fucking TV show, which is why she's enduring this nonsense, because he's coerced her with this information, this promise. So she's dissociating to get through this agonizing sex with fucking Donald Trump.
A blackout and dissociation are two completely different things.
So Gutfeld said, you blacked out without drugs or alcohol. Some of us call that sleeping. Some of us call that misogyny, Greg. Now, he said,
I want to see him fucking sleep with slimy ass scrotum textured Donald Trump's fucking dick inside him.
You know, that may actually happen given what comes next here. So Greg Gutfeld says, now it could be that she really blacked out after having sex with Trump, which is a compliment, he said. Truly, he screwed the brains out of her. That makes him a sex god. Oh, God. Here's me trying to withhold my vomiting. That's how I feel after reading that. Greg Gutfeld thinks that Donald Trump...
I just swallowed my tongue for a second. I need a minute.
Donald Trump is a sex god.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
F you.
Thank you, Jody. Right? So
but
that's
just like fucking Trump send him like a stripper or something or an escort girl for saying this shit on TV. Is that what's, does he get like fed like Scooby snacks under the counter or something? Like what's the fucking incentive here, Gutfeld?
Yummy. Like, thank you for the
fucking disgusting. Like why would you call that filthy, awful, fake tan, slimy, sweaty, sociopathic, girdle wearing, incontinent.
He's just a ridiculous CG cartoon character, human being. I mean, he looks like a caricature of someone else is what he looks like. And so Stormy Daniels...
He looks like the spackled ceilings from the 70s where they press the brush.
The popcorn ceiling.
Plaster. Yeah. I mean, he looks like that, but like dusted with like, you know, cheese, Cheeto dust kind of like...
Same color as a microwave hot dog. The same same texture as my... With some, you know how a microwave hot dog kind of explodes a little bit?
No, I was the one that brought that up last week. Remember, kind of the blistered kind of thing going on. Like,
yeah. So Greg Gutfeld thinks that Donald Trump is a sex god. And there are probably viewers of The Five going, yes, that's right. Donald Trump is a sex god.
Yeah, I want to have sex with a guy who looks like an intestinal polyp.
What do you say about that, Mike Johnson?
That's my fetish.
Okay, so the good news out of Wisconsin. There was
I'm super impressed that you just happened to have a squeaky toy, like just lying around in your sound effects box.
I just got lucky. I got lucky that I had that laying around. Quinnipiac. I don't know how you pronounce it.
It's Quinnipiac.
I know. I'm going to get so much shit in the Patreon comments. Quinnipiac. Is that what it is? Quinnipiac.
You're just being a dick now.
No, I don't know. I usually say Quinnipiac, and I know that's wrong. Who cares? I think everyone knows what
I'm
talking
about.
Do
you remember that like stupid game with the plastic balls, Gnip Gnop?
Yeah.
It's like that, Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
Gnip Gnop.
So it's Quinnipiac.
What?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So regardless.
You're doing this on purpose.
No, I swear.
No.
I am trying to pronounce it correctly. I guess the point is that Joe Biden leads by 6 points, according to the new... Something, something poll. Starts with a Q, ends with a PAC. That poll. You know the one I'm talking about. 6-point lead, 50-44 right now. The rest of the pollsters can go fuck themselves. Simon Rosenberg has been noting that this particular poll in Wisconsin is a large sample poll, meaning that it is much more accurate than some of the other polling we've been seeing in battleground states. So when you go to RCP or you go to one of these polling aggregators and you see some of the averages for the swing states, you're noticing that these are poll averages that have all kinds of shitty polls mixed in there. Small polls where there's just 400 respondents and it's all like maybe all Americans in that category, which is just everybody, irrespective of whether they're registered to vote, or maybe they're registered voters, which means it's just all registered voters, but a lot of those registered voters don't cast ballots on election day. They just don't go. And the ones to look for are the likely voter categories. So here's what Simon Rosenberg is seeing. He said this, Biden has a 4- and 5-point lead in new likely voter polls. New polls in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin show Biden leads. Dem Senate/House polling is encouraging. Trump underperforming in primaries, way behind in money/organization, GOP splintering. He also said Republicans are working to invent a Democratic Party they can run against and beat because the one they have, they can't beat. So that was Simon Rosenberg weighing in on all of that.
Splintering is such a nice, verb there, because I imagine it's just like breaking up in the upper atmosphere, like immediate, you know, just like flaming out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to see more and more people like Jeff Duncan saying that they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. I have a really hard time believing.
I think that the whole thing with him having to sit there for 30-something hours a week in the courtroom and farting and falling asleep and just looking ghastly.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he doesn't have the time he wants in the morning to do his elaborate hair nest thing.
I think more and more people are seeing Joe Biden in action right now. I think he's doing a lot more rallies and speeches and presenting himself and disproving this nonsense that he's cognitively impaired in some way.
Yeah.
He's doing incredible work, especially given the fact that there is a war in Israel and Gaza right now that is one of the most impossible things for any world leader to have to deal with. And it's for Joe Biden in many ways, it could end up being like a no-win scenario, but he's making the effort to lower the temperature of all this.
As a creature of Congress, he automatically did what Congress has done for generations with Israel, which was to support Israel unconditionally. And then he took a read.
Uh-huh.
He read the room and was like, we're going to moderate this platform.
Yeah.
And continued it. But that's what smart people do.
Right.
If situations and circumstances change, they evolve and adapt.
Oh, yeah. It's a sign of intellectualism. That your opinions and your approach can change based on new information. That's what the Republicans don't get. That's what we were talking about before, where they keep reintroducing the same ideas irrespective of the conditions on the ground, and they wonder, well, why the fuck doesn't this work? You mean tax cuts are unworkable? Well, let's do that more, because it sounds good at least. The politics are good with tax cuts. It doesn't mean they actually do anything to stimulate growth or...
It just brings up a shit ton of donor money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I wonder how many people end up spending in donor money what they would have spent in taxes.
right. So, okay, we got the Shadow Docket coming up next. I think Elon Musk is going to be here to read a comfort food recipe. We've been doing this, having some fun with this on the Shadow Docket lately, so we'll do that. What else is happening? Oh, yeah, I've got some advice on getting your blood pressure checked. I went to the doctor today for a routine checkup. I'll talk about it on the Shadow Docket. But there was an interesting thing that happened with my blood. Everything's fine with my blood pressure, I swear to God. But there's a bit of advice that I have for those of you who are of a certain age like we are, and you go to get your blood pressure checked at the doctor. Some tips for you to make sure you get an accurate reading. Okay, that and a whole lot more coming up on the Shadow Docket, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. See you there, folks. Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.